Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for April 14th, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Andrea Blanca and Suzanne Hausler about a mutation that enhances the ability of a pathogenic strain of Pseudomonas aeruginosa to form biofilms. Biofilms are microbial communities that grow on surfaces. Biofilms may consist of a single species or may include multiple species of bacteria and fungi living together. The microbes in biofilms differ from their free-living counterparts in their morphology, metabolism, and pathogenicity. These communities have complex structures, and the microbes are embedded in a matrix that consists of polysaccharides, proteins, and nucleic acids. The matrix helps protect the microbes from antibiotics and from being destroyed by the immune system. Biofilms can form on non-biological substrates like rocks and medical devices, and they can also form on biological substrates like epithelia and teeth. For example, dental plaque is a biofilm that forms on teeth and contributes to dental disease. But whereas dental plaque is relatively easy to control by manual cleaning, biofilms that form on medical devices or on soft tissues are difficult to remove and can be serious threats to health. Pseudomonas aeruginosa is an opportunistic pathogen that can form biofilms and is more difficult to treat when it's in a biofilm than when it exists as free-living cells. One of the most clinically relevant manifestations of this is the formation of Pseudomonas biofilms in the lungs of cystic fibrosis patients. In a study published this week in Science Signaling, Andrea Blanca and Suzanne Hausler report that altered fatty acid metabolism in a strain of pathogenic Pseudomonas contributes to its ability to form biofilms. Blanca and Hausler spoke to me from the TwinCore Center of Clinical and Experimental Infection Research in Hanover, Germany. Dr. Hausler and Dr. Blanca, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much.
How does Pseudomonas form biofilms?
A first step in biofilm formation, the bacteria will have to sense surfaces, and then what they do is they respond with the attachment to the surface in order to establish a biofilm population. Well, there is growing knowledge on the molecular mechanisms that underlie the developmental process of biofilm formation in model organisms such as Pseudomonas aeruginosa. However, much less is known about how the bacteria sense the surfaces and how they respond with attachment to the surface on the single cell level. Cyclic-DiGMP is one important bacterial intracellular signal molecule that is involved in the switching from the planktonic, which is the freely swimming, to the sessile mode of bacterial growth. Well, if the signal, the cyclic-DiGMP, increases within the cell, biofilm formation processes are activated, and vice versa, when the intracellular level of cyclic-DiGMP decreases, the bacteria become more motile and produce more virulence factors. Thus, upon contact with the surface, the bacteria start to produce cyclic-DiGMP, and this leads to the establishment of a sessile bacterial community, which we call the biofilm.
How does Pseudomonas that's in a biofilm differ from free-swimming Pseudomonas? Does it have different pathogenicity?
Once a sessile bacterial population has been established, the bacteria are very well protected from diverse environmental perturbations. And during an infection process, these perturbations include the host immune response and antimicrobial therapy. It is therefore very, very difficult to treat chronic biofilm-associated infections and the chronic infections, they persist over years. Within the biofilms, the bacteria are encapsulated in a thick self-produced extracellular matrix, and this matrix protects them from various stresses and also the environment, but also from the human immune response during the infection process and from therapy. And this leads to bacterial persistence despite even intensified antimicrobial treatment, and thus the establishment of really chronic infections. As opposed to acute infection, the clinical course of the chronic infection is less dramatic. The bacteria are less virulent. However, the persistent inflammation in the host leads to the progressive destruction of the affected human tissue. And in case of the chronically infected cystic fibrosis lung, this leads often to end-stage lung failure.
Andrea, in this study, you focused on a strain of Pseudomonas that's associated with lung infections in cystic fibrosis patients. What's special about that strain?
So in this study, we used a clinical isolate that was recovered from a chronically infected cystic fibrosis lung. And this isolate exhibits a very characteristic feature, which is that it forms very small colonies on agar plates. These so-called small colony variants are highly adherent, and they have an enhanced ability to form biofilms. In addition, they show also an increased resistance against antibiotics. Small colony variants of Pseudomonas aeruginosa are very frequently observed in cystic fibrosis patients and seem to represent a highly adapted subpopulation.
In the study, you looked at what it is about this strain that makes them more apt to form biofilms. What did you find?
So this strain has adapted to the cystic fibrosis lung environment in a way that enables a constant biofilm formation due to intrinsically high levels of cyclic IgMP in the cells. In order to uncover the genetic basis of this biofilm-forming small colony variant phenotype, we generated fast-growing revertants. We passaged the small colony variant several times under rich medium conditions and screened for revertants that form large colonies when grown on agar plates and that have lost their biofilm-forming capability. We then performed whole genome sequencing, and by comparing the genome sequences from the small colony variant and the revertant, we uncovered one mutation that was responsible for the phenotypic switch of these strains. This mutation leads to the formation of a secondary structure in the mRNA of an essential gene, which is involved in fatty acid biosynthesis. As a result, these genes are less efficiently translated in the small colony variant.
How does a change in fatty acid metabolism make this strain exceptionally good at forming biofilms?
We show in our study that shortening of fatty acids in the cell membrane serves as a signal which activates a chemosensory-like system in Pseudomonas aeruginosa. This system has been suggested to be activated by high salt concentrations and by bacterial attachment to surfaces. Together with our data, this implies now that bacteria sense a physicochemical signal via this chemosensory-like system to produce cyclic IgMP and to initiate biofilm formation.
Could there be some way to exploit your finding to treat Pseudomonas infections?
Well, our work demonstrates that there is a very fine-tuned system to drive cyclic IgMP production upon attachment in Pseudomonas aeruginosa. Knowledge on the bacterial systems that sense surfaces to reduce high levels of this important cyclic IgMP signal might really in the future be exploited to design new antimicrobials. Conventional antibiotics usually target essential bacterial cell functions such as translation or transcription or cell wall biosynthesis. However, the interference with surface sensing might be a novel strategy to fight chronic infections. Those novel drugs can be designed to specifically impair bacterial pathogenicity mechanisms.
In theory, then, interfering with adhesion or attachment to the biological substrate could inhibit biofilm formation. But what about biofilms that are already established? If the infection is already there, can interfering with adhesion then reverse the biofilm process? Could it cause the biofilm to break up or to release?
Attachment is the first step in biofilm formation. And of course, if biofilm has already established, then it doesn't make sense to interfere with attachment. However, biofilms are dynamic, so we always see bacteria that leave the biofilm, they become motile, and then they attach to new surfaces in the neighboring tissue. So if you inhibit attachment processes, you might well also get an improvement during chronic infections where you already have established biofilms.
You may not necessarily kill the initial biofilm, but you can prevent it from spreading.
Yeah, from spreading and renewing its life cycle.
How similar are biofilm formation mechanisms between different species of bacteria? Would targeting this system also be feasible for species other than Pseudomonas? And could it be feasible for keeping biofilms from forming on non-biological substrates, like medical devices?
Well, indeed, the intracellular bacteria signal molecule, cyclic IgMP, is an important and really universal signal for biofilm formation in many gram-negative bacterial pathogens, not only in Pseudomonas aeruginosa. Thus, inhibiting biofilms via the interference with cyclic IgMP production seems to be a really attractive anti-biofilm strategy. However, much remains to be learned about the effects of also low levels of cyclic IgMP on, for example, virulence factor protection in pathogenic bacteria, because biofilm formation and the sessile mode of growth is promoted by high levels of cyclic DIGP, whereas low levels promote motility and also virulence. As we have demonstrated in our publication, the environmental conditions that drive biofilm formation and the systems that sense the respective conditions can be very specific. So our system is specific for Pseudomonas aeruginosa. And the effects of the inhibition have to be studied very carefully in order to evaluate the impact on global bacterial behavior, which might be an enhanced virulence.
Suzanne and Andrea, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
It was a great pleasure for me.
That was Andrea Blanca and Suzanne Hausler discussing a paper published in the April 14th issue of Science Signaling by Blanca and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.